Hola. See, I do know something. One second here. This is all new to me. It literally. Well, it's so good to see you guys. Man, so many thoughts, so many emotions. Where do I even begin? First of all, I just want to say that we are so grateful to be here. And so just grateful to be back. And I've talked to some other pastors who have had different feelings coming back from sabbatical. And so just, I was like, really? You're not like pumped to go back? And that's not always the case. So I got to focus here for a second. Okay, I think I got it. So there's, again, I'm not even sure where exactly I want to narrow this down. Part of it is because I have things that I want to just share, and part of this will be a gradual unfolding, I suppose, but things I want to share to everybody and as it relates to the building and different things like that. So I'm going to save some stuff for Sunday, and then just with time and everything. But I want to just give, man, again, this is amazing. What I wanted to say at the beginning was we feel so welcome back, and we feel so like loved and missed, and that's been really, really just felt a little bit overwhelmed by everybody. I don't know what I expected there, but just the way that you guys have expressed that we feel really cared for and really loved, and man, just what a blessing that is. So I'm going to share just a little bit of an overview of what we did, and then leads into a thought as it relates to tonight and kind of a reflection. And I'm going to start with what we've just got back from most recently and then go backwards because then it'll land where, like I said, the reflection thought. We just got back about a week and a half ago from spending all of June and all of July in Costa Rica, the four of us, my wife Liz and our two kids. And what an incredible adventure. And I don't know if you've ever had 61 days of nonstop family time. But that'll put you in a new place. You will end up in new territory after about, you know, day 28 of that. I don't know if anybody's ever done that before, but so we were there for 2 months, and the goal of that time was really just for it to be quality family time, check, and then just an adventure for our family. I got to practice Spanish. That was one of the reasons we chose a, you know, Central American country. And then just have time to read and to journal and to reflect. And so we did all that. Here's us zip lining and doing some different things. Our house, I found this spot that was really pretty obscure and difficult to get to is an understatement. And the house was just kind of off the beach, and there's a house back there, and I'll kind of zoom in a little bit, but kind of in the jungle. And so one of the things that you can imagine is, and it rains, you know, pretty much every day at some point, is it's really difficult to keep bugs and things like that. It's just a different, like the whole place feels like you're outside. And so, you know, the first few days we were finding ants, and we did find a few cockroaches, and not everybody in my family is excited about that. I won't say any names. And, you know, at some point in the first few days, actually, because I was the one that kind of rallied everybody, like, this is going to be great, let's do this, I started to feel like, you know, if this goes badly, it's also on me. And I hadn't even considered that as a possibility. And until some things started happening, and I thought, I might have pushed the adventure dial. I hope I didn't go too far. And I think it was the second day. Can I share this story about the couch thing? Yeah, I've told other people. This is not. The second day, I come back from the store, and Liz meets me at the front door of this house, and she's like, there's something in the house. And she's like freaking out, and she got the kids like on either side of her, and she says, there's a monkey, there's a monkey or something that's behind the couch, and it's throwing glass. And I'm not going back in there. And I was like, okay. I mean, what do you do? That's a scenario that there's a monkey throwing glass. I go, what do you mean it's throwing glass? And she says, I don't know. I was in there and it's throwing. And there's lizards, there's tails. And so to make a long story short, I go in and she's watching. She won't even go in the house. She's watching through the sliding glass window. And I walk in and I'm like, and I don't know. Maybe there is. And that's going to be kind of a deal breaker. And move the couch back, and there's no, and I just noticed there was in places like that, they have like zoning air conditioning, not central air, and so there was, it's an interior wall, but there's a, it's like exactly like the air conditioner in the youth room downstairs. And we had it dialed up to, you know, freezing cold, and it started spitting ice. Because I noticed there was a melting little puddle of ice and a little water puddle, and I was like, so that's the monkey that was throwing glass. And the lizards that were hiding behind the surfboard on the wall underneath were just, it was just ice running, water running down, and just all came together. And you know how your brain, anyway, it was fine. And we recovered nicely and went on and had a really, really great experience. All of us, just exactly what we needed as a family. And just something that we recognize as most likely a once in a lifetime opportunity. This is our last day, and these are some of the folks that took care of the property that we were at and the grounds and everything. So got to build a relationship with them, and it was great. Prior to that, Liz and I, and this is now back in May, we spent a week or 10 days or something in Florida. And while we were there, we celebrated our 15-year anniversary. And I look like I just woke up because I did. Because Liz wanted to go out and see the sunrise at 5:30 or 6 in the morning or whatever that was. And that was just, an awesome time for us to be able to spend time together and to connect without the kids. The kids are great. We got that. That was the next chapter. And then prior to that, earlier in May at the beginning, I by myself went to, basically I flew to Edinburgh in Scotland. And then rented a car and drove to, it's like a Christian retreat center. I'd say the word monastery, but that kind of gives you that's the wrong vibe. It's a group of Christians from all over the world that kind of are like-minded and are exploring some of these ancient traditions of Celtic Christianity. And so I got to go on a retreat called Celtic Sites and Saints. And the Celts are basically Irish monks in the 400 or 500s who came over and they started going to, you know, to England and to Europe, the mainland. And it was during the fall of the Roman Empire, and it was dark times in Europe and dark times for the church. And the Celtic Christians kind of guarded the flame of the church and of a lot of different things. And so went on this retreat and learned a lot about different of these saints in different places. The goal, though, wasn't so much information as it was to have space for reflection and to kind of, it was about solitude, it was about contemplation. And that, if you guys know me, I like that kind of, the contemplative stream has been something that, in fact, I first heard about this community 13, 14 years ago. And it was just really, really neat to be able to go see them and experience what they were doing. Afterward, I had a few days extra, and I drove up by myself to one of the Isle of Skye, the northwestern part of Scotland, and did some hiking and just had some time to, again, reflect, catch my breath. This was at the beginning, and sort of prepare myself for this time. I want to share a thought that comes from that beginning in Scotland and England. I had never seen this before, but I had a few things right at the beginning that just recurring sort of metaphors that set the tone for not only the rest of my time, but I think for some of my major takeaways, and I'm still processing, and I'm sure that again will unfold with time. But have you guys ever seen a tidal island? Have you heard of that? I hadn't either. And I saw on my GPS when I was driving to this retreat center, I saw there was an island. And I was like, I got time. I'm getting here early. I just want to drive to the coast because I was following the coast of northeast England. And I saw this island. It said Holy Island is this way. And I expected to get to the edge and then to look across the bay and to see the island. And I get there and what I see is a road. And I was like, this is weird because my GPS says this is blue, like the ocean. And then there's the island I can see about 3 miles out offshore. And so it turns out, and there's signs that say, watch the tide, because twice a day, that is all underwater. And so you got to be careful. And so you check the tide tables. Anyway, I went out there, and turns out that ended up being one of the sites we went to a few days later on the retreat. So one of the things I liked about it, a Celtic saint named Aidan and another one named Cuthbert kind of had their home base. And by definition, the tide comes in, and when the tide is in, that's from the island looking back. You're not going anywhere unless you have a boat or you're, you know, can swim a long way. And so I just, that metaphor started to kind of work into me, this idea that the tide comes in, and when that happens, you're on your own, and you're going to have to spend time in prayer and solitude and basically renewal before God. And then twice a day, the tide goes out, and then that symbolizes, and then we go out and we serve and we interact and we influence and we do the things in the world that God is calling us to actually do. So that stuck with me, that metaphor. This is St. Aidan, again, 500-some A.D. He came over from Ireland and landed on this island and just brought these two things together, a life of prayer and contemplation and a life of service. So we're not going to retreat and only pray and only stay in our monastery. We're going to go out and we're going to put these two things together. And he impacted a lot of people. The other thing, so I've got this tidal pool and or tidal island, and then where we were in Costa Rica, in the middle of nowhere, was another tidal island. And I just thought, man, I think there's something I'm supposed to get out of this, because I've never even heard of this, like most of you. Tide comes in, the tide goes out. And do I have that kind of rhythm? Do I have that kind of in my life? Or is it all the tide's out and I'm going, and there's no time? The other picture that went along with this, and this is another site, and I won't say much about that, but this is a well. And the water is actually clear, just the way the light is, it makes it look like it's black. And it's a well, and the whole thing is uniform depth. It's about 2.5 feet deep. And at the one end here, you can see on the left, it's a little fence or like a little basket. And that basically is a part of a series of filters. And the water, and it must be coming from some kind of natural spring coming into that well, the water overflows and then goes into a pipe and flows downhill about 200 yards to provide water for about 20 houses. So this is the actual drinking water and water for a little village, a little English neighborhood. And got to thinking about that, and one of the verses we meditated on was Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I got to thinking about what this picture means in my life and how it's my job to protect, it's my job to guard the well, because everything that I do, good or bad, you get the picture of overflow. And I think, we're all busy. And we all have more to do than we could possibly get done. And it seems like everything around us conspires against us with errands to run and demands to meet. What happens, and maybe this is just me and that's fine. What happens is we give and the water runs out and the level gets lower and lower and lower. And pretty soon, but people are still, we want something from you. We need something from you. And then we're scraping the bottom. And that's not the life that Jesus offers us. And that's not what Proverbs is talking about when he says, guard your heart, because everything is going to flow out. And so that really became a primary word picture and a way that I really think God spoke to me in, like, a man, kept having these symbols and these, okay, I'm getting it. And what does that then mean for me to do that? And so I think it means I have to pay attention. I have to make sure that water is coming in at least the same rate that it's flowing out, hopefully more. This idea of living out of the overflow. And I do think this has broader application. I don't think it's just for pastors. I think it's for all of us, because we all have people that we're giving to. We all have people that are depending on us. Whether you're a teacher or a leader in some other sphere, the people that you influence, the relationships that you have. So my question for all of us, and I think this will again be something that we're going to hit, is am I guarding the source? Am I guarding the well? Or am I in there, just, is it just scraping the bottom of my life? And It's no wonder that we snap at the people that we love. It's no wonder like we just give in to temptation just like that, because we don't have any resources. We don't have an overflow from which we're able to live and to operate. And so I think we've got to be active and intentional about that. I like this quote, and I'll wrap this up here, from Barbara Brown Taylor. She says, talking about this idea of what gives you life. If you want one simple thing you can do, and I encourage you to do this, make two lists on the same sheet of paper. On one side, write things I know give me life, and on the other side, write reasons why I don't do them. Then just keep that list handy where you can find it. When you feel like there's a hollow place in the middle of your chest where your heart used to be, when you can feel a cold breeze blowing right through you, pull out your list and look at it. And never stop wondering when you lost your freedom to do the things you know give you life. It's a nice way of saying it's your own fault, right? Because we know better. We all know better. And this whole thing about guarding the well, and living out of the overflow, this isn't just for pastors and monks and people who live in monasteries. In fact, the more that you get into the tradition of silence and where does this come from, where does the stream, the more that you get into that, the more that you find out the reason that you spend time in solitude, the reason why you practice silence and listening is so that you can learn to, they actually say it's, you end up realizing it's inside of you. You think it's on the outside, and if I could just get the kids to be quiet for 5 seconds, and I could think, or I'm, you know, you sit down to read or to journal, and the phone rings, or what. You got to practice that, and you got to work at that, so that you can discover that solitude is actually an interior thing. And then the last thing I want to say is, when it comes to the well, yes, we do these things that give us life. Yes, we try to be intentional and put these things in our lives. But obviously, Jesus is ultimately the source, right? He is the stream. And Jesus says, come to me. And if you're weary, you're burdened, and I'll give you rest, but you got to come to me. This last song, or this next song, I don't know how many more we're going to do, but you guys can come back up. I was just putting this together, and I saw where I was on the order that they chose. And the very first verse of this next song says, let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run. And then I like this part, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. So I want to invite us just to stand again and reflect on this as we sing.